completely different. And then you begin to set out on your own walk with God and go for the highest thing that you can see. And then God doesn't play by the rules of, you know, of the others. Is that partly because of what you're setting out for, but partly because the covenant, I guess maybe the third covenant, which is that God, I'm going after the fullness of the work of the Father in my lifetime to take me into that Enoch, Elijah, whatever, means that He, you know, He'll take you through your Job experiences, and He won't, you know, and they won't always look the same as whatever, because you know how God's meant to do certain things, like test me in this one thing, you know, the whole title, all of these things, like there's different spiritual principles, but is it that with a certain covenant you give God permission to work outside of, I guess, honouring His word above His name or whatever, and then work as a father?
I think the important thing is to measure, where did you get your spiritual model from in the beginning? Did it come from monastic life, Catholic Orthodox church life, Anglican Orthodox church life, Wesleyan social working church life, Pentecostal holiness church life, homegrown church life, a mixture of other religions and Christianity? Where did it come from? Where did your model of who God is and what God does, where did it come from? That's really important to know, to answer that kind of a question. And then secondly, it's really good to know the times that we live in. We live in a spiritual environment which was unknowable 200 years ago. Society couldn't tolerate the spiritual freedom that we have today in our particular world. And if you go to an Arab country, if you go to China, for example, you cannot exercise the spirituality that you have right now without getting into political difficulty. And also, you don't have the kind of social spiritual environment and context that we see, not so much in Australia, but certainly in America. You know, I've gotten on a plane in America, sat across somebody that I never knew, and within, I don't know, 2 minutes, we're hands in hands, we're praying with each other. Now, you try that on a Qantas flight here, you know, it doesn't happen. So the spiritual context in America, for example, because of the Protestant principles that it was built on, it wasn't built on Catholic principles, and it wasn't built on a convict principle like here. It was built on deliberately providing a progressive Protestant environment for humanity, which has to then also incorporate being invaded by the Jewish fraternity and the Islamic fraternity and the atheistic fraternity and absorbing the local indigenous Indian fraternity as well. So the spiritual context allows God to appear to be actually inventing whole new rules for you, but only because those rules that you're living by don't appear to fit any of the pre-existing rules.
Yeah.
But if you got into those environments, you'd probably find that the saints in those environments did live off the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like St. Francis was always off the radar.
There is another aspect as well, I would think, well, which you're not mentioning in this, and that is that also God honours your own individuality.
Yep.
And He obviously also wants to create an individual path for each person.
The more individual...
There may be similarities.
Yeah.
There will also be distinctions.
Yeah, the more individual paths God can create, the more opportunity is there is for the next generations.
Oh, yeah.
Because He's broadening the whole radar span of spirituality with every unique person that He creates. And that's why being locked into a rigid church system, sooner or later it has to be outdated. God needs competitive church situations that challenge people against one another. And He, you know, elegantly steps out of the fray while they fight each other and battle over these values. But it's that produces a stronger spirituality because people are claiming what they believe in, you know. So you're a part of that.
So they have to refine and become more eloquent and elegant in what their beliefs are.
Yeah.
And
that all advances society.
Absolutely. And it also brings their spirituality to a different level to what it may have been before that contesting took place.
Yeah. So you're a part of that. And so, you know, it's, so there are many, many features involved in what makes you, And the value of growing older and becoming more mature in a walk in God, like 80 years is hardly, you know, old, but in the scheme of things, but certainly older than, say, 25. But as you grow older, you discover that you start to actually factor in far more of the features that God is engaged in humanity. And you take your attention just off your walk with God, which is paramount up to, say, 35. You know, it's paramount, your walk with God. And you'll kind of leave a wake behind you that you don't care about as you forge your destiny in God. But after that, you start really taking into account mercifully and compassionately what God is doing in those that you rejected also, and start now to build up a whole picture of having humanity and being Christ-like for humanity when you can. All right, let's move on. So this is hope. I'm hoping that you're learning something about hope and that hope is different now from what you thought hope was. Hope is still hope, but you're starting to realize that it's grounded and founded on things that you and God are making together. It's not just based on your thoughts. I want to move quickly into doing a couple of exercises here. So if we want to grow spiritually, one of the dimensions is to get our past from ceasing to sabotage our future and starting to empower our future so that the past itself becomes an instrument that God can use inside of us to mobilize our powers and our resources that we've already been building with from the past, and have us get our past free from sabotages and crippling decisions in our past that are unrighteous and resist fusion with God's will. So we want our past, firstly, to become something that's working for our future. That's transforming the impact of your past to empower hope in your future. So all of the things that you have done in your past, when they're touched by God, they change the hope factor in you. And they actually are the ammunition of hope for your future. If you're hoping for your future without referencing the things that have already happened in your life, then your hope is built on nothing. Your hope is just a fairy floss dream of the future. But if it's built on stuff that you can absolutely categorically identify, then you can stand in front of your future and say, well, future, I'm sorry, but you are mine. I'm claiming you in the name of God my Father, because this is the evidence that I've stood on to date. And in a year, I'm going to be standing right where you are right now, future. I'm going to be standing solid in God, because it's just a continuum of what's already been happening in my life. And when you take that through your whole 90, 100, 120 years, and you find yourself in heaven and then go through heaven, 100,000, 200,000, 1 million, 2 million, 10 million, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, 4 billion, 5 billion years, and you realize you are standing in the same hope in your Father 5 billion years from now, and you're smack in the middle of paradise, everything is just unbelievably wonderful. When you do that, you realize that your future is disarmed and your future is no threat to you. Your future now starts to be a God who now comes and supplies you. So you need your past to be mobilized toward your future, and you also need your future to be a thing that looks at you and says, oh, you're coming to me, fantastic. Look at the provision I've got for you. Your future has to be something that is now backloading blessings onto you and welcome and inviting you into it. It's a God. It's the God who loves you to be. And if your future is not that, then your future is going to be the enemy created by your past's fears. So you need your spirituality to totally purify your past so that your past cannot entertain fears about the future. And then secondly, you need to come into your future and now start to give your future godly, loving, compassionate, merciful, totally on my side sensibilities. And when that happens, your future just rolls over like a puppy dog. Tickle my tummy, baby, tickle my tummy. Because you know that the God of the future and the God of the past is standing right here within you and with you right now. And in that stability, you now can God can now take you into different measures of dominion because you're standing in a capability that isn't trembling in front of your future, isn't going to knock yourself off at the knees from your past, and you're no longer going to live the normal human life. You're now going to live a life that very quickly will run you into the dominions of heaven, because now you can function as a heavenly person, as though Adam and Eve had never fallen, as though there was no need for Jesus on the planet, as though your heavenly righteousness has been an open book to you all your life. But you've also got now the Son of God moving in you. You've also got the Holy Spirit moving in you, establishing in you a force that you have become comfortable with in your worldly environment. You have to obey the laws of the land, but if this land doesn't work for you, go somewhere that does work for you. God will have a place somewhere for you, and if there isn't one, then God will get you to make it like Abraham for the next generations. So this is the stability of hope, that your future is your friend. Your past is not your enemy. Your past is, in fact, a slingshot working on behalf of the God of your future. Like that? Isn't that great preaching?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, as I said, let's get the Holy Spirit moving into your past. We've done some exercises like that. If you were mine in a monastery and we were doing this in a monastic kind of a setting where you couldn't run away from it, we would do this every day. We would do a number of things every day to make sure that quickly nothing interrupted your time so that you could become perfect in the Father as quickly as possible. Then after that, we can have you hold the the lantern that burns the tattoo on your arms, and off you go into the world, and you can be a blessing to the world, and you can be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect and bring your blessing into the world. But getting there is a first priority. So we've done some exercises like that, and you do that kind of exercise regularly. We've had a look at this, the scale of attention. Mm-hmm. And we've identified this one here about simply that you can have many problems in your life that are problems only because you're fixated upon it. And we did exercise last week of breaking the fixation. Remember that? Have a look around. I did something with someone today. They said, "Oh, I've never seen that before." And then I thought, gee, what do I need to sow in that person right now while they've got that creativity in their mind? And I said something, God's going to heal you perfectly. And you're going to get on really well in your marriage. And the person says, "Huh. Oh yeah, well, I suppose I can believe for that." Mm-hmm. And there it's in. The seed's sown. So you're always looking for these opportunities to break a person's stronghold inside themselves, which comes about because they're fixated on their problem. So we did some of that. Again, if we're living in a monastic situation where we were not just praising God, but we were working on our integrity, we will be going through as many of these things all the time to get them out of your system, to get you broken open, to get you alive in the spirit so that you can actually live in your heavenly citizenship, not be plagued with the human things that are just humdrum, but really move your spirit. Wouldn't you like to live in something like that? At least 1 week of your life? Okay, so we've done this. What have we got going on here? Oh yeah, okay, let's do this. In pairs, we can do that, I think. Yep, we can do that. This is what I want you to do. We don't have a lot of time, so I want to do a couple of these with you at least. Each person identify at least three events in your life to date that you know for sure involved you and God. You've identified one. You reckon you identify a couple more? That wouldn't be too hard, would it? Share with each other and then choose one event to focus on. That's the starting point of it. So you might have located this point in your life, this point in your life, and this point in your life, where you've got three that you've identified. Again, the purpose of doing this is to get you back and identify real concrete situations that you can actually find yourself being built on with God. That's the purpose of doing it. We're not just into some psychological game. We're looking to find where has God actually built in you. So that's the starting point of that. Let's see where it goes. We sow seeds. We're looking for God's goal from your past. So we're looking to identify in those three situations where you've had a God contact in some way. It doesn't have to be the blazing face of God. He doesn't actually have a blazing face, but unless you're sort of right up there in paradise. But, many times it's just light. Many times it's just peace. Many times it's just a word. You know, the presence of God is quite gentle and subtle. But we're looking for what's God's goal in your past. Because if we can find God's goal there, then we can start to realize, as Tony was asking, what was I praying for 5 years ago? What was I praying for 3 years ago? What am I praying for now? What's going to happen 3 years from now? If you look at those stepping stones, then you can discover, yeah, I can see God moving in me here. Look at that. I can see what I prayed for. I can see what that led to. I can see what that opened up. Now I can see the fruit of that. I can see now what I'm praying for now and what that's going to end up with over here. Cool. And that now starts to stabilize the hope inside of you that the world cannot take away, and more than that, that your flesh cannot deny, and that anything diabolic cannot attack. Because God keeps that in his own secret little domain, that nothing iniquitous can get in and pervert it. Nothing can get in and say, you know, God came to you on that day, but that wasn't really true. No, because God can flash that and remind you, yes, it was actually true. Because God holds the pedigree on that one, because he was a part of making it happen. So he holds the keys to that. And that's what you need assurance of. God holds the keys to every single encounter that he's had with you, and that's your security, that's your hope. And all of your sins that he's forgiven and forgotten, he holds the keys to those. That's the unlockable room. You can't unlock that room. Unlockable? Non-unlockable room. You cannot unlock that room. So, we sow seeds in our life at these four different levels: visible, sense-based, secret, which is our discussions about life itself, subtle, which is our discussions with God, our prayers with God, and the heavenly level, where God and I are acting as one in fusion reality. So in these goals from our past, let's have a look and just see what really happened. You know, was it a dream? Was it an encounter? Where were you? What was going on? What was happening secretly? What are your motivations? What were your own thoughts about what was going on? If you can anchor those, you know, get those back for you. What was happening between you and God? And the good thing about God's stuff is that it always remains eternal, and you can always look into it. You can still down, and his spirit joins your spirit, and you both enter into this, the canvas of that event. And you can penetrate the stuff in it, and you will sometimes be able to penetrate through that and discover, what does that look like at a higher level of dominion even? But then you're getting into the prophetic and into the secrets of God's own heart. Most people only just look at it and take it at that. But once you get more adept at this, you can look through any portal and you can look through any part of the person's life, because it's all available. It's only available if you've got a pure heart. If you've got the iniquitous heart that rejects God, like the Satanists have, you can't get through that portal. You just look at it and it just looks like a shiny white piece of stuff. But if you're pure-hearted in God, you can look through that portal at your own stuff or someone else's, and you can go through that portal and look at anything that God wants to let you see. It's awesome. So there's this great vulnerability in heaven, where you know that everybody's looking at you. And that's cool. You've got nothing to hide. You know, you are who you are. Yes, sir.
That happens when people talk to you as well, though, right? Because I see that sometimes when people are talking to me about something, then I'll be able to look at the thing while they're talking to me about it, and God will begin to give me insight.
I have a bad habit of looking at people's chests.
Yeah,
because that's where their life is. So while they're talking, I actually want to, I want to look and see. I just naturally see what's going on, which doesn't go well for the ladies. Yeah. And you're saying, you know, you're looking about 6 inches deep into their chest, but looking at their eyes doesn't do it for me. I want to see what's really going on. All right, so subtle and heavenly, and they manifest as our past, our future, communication, healings, our finances, love life, family life, social life, and spiritual life. All these realms of our life, they manifest, and our connection to God can happen in any of these zones. And remember, we came to this. Where is it? there. We came to this, and I told you that I've now got a picture of this, of six of these with a fusion one over here, and there are these different levels of attitude that elevate us, and it happens pre-born again, post-born again, seeking God alone, and post-seeking God alone when we're actually in a fusion-mindedness of God, and then one above that of learning our heavenly citizenship. And so there are these, this is happening at every one of those levels. And at each level we find ourselves increasing in dominion. And so when we start to come forward and find in ourselves some encounter where God came to us, then we find that God is happening in our whole life. And a big part of becoming fusion-minded with the Father is that God is in all of our life, not just in our spiritual life. God's in our, you know, God's in our temper tantrums, our bad hair days, our curses when it just the wheels fall off it totally, as well as in when it's really, really working beautifully for us. God's in it all. He just takes the whole enchilada. He doesn't leave the crusty bit off. Just takes it all. And so as we start to grow more and more in God, we realize we've got an opportunity to become good and holy and heavenly, and we've also got the opportunity to grow and increase and be all-embracive. So your experience of God in the past could be about anything in your life, and it's good to get it. And like Colleen said, it could be a failure. You know, all through the night you're crying about this failure, but in the morning, boom, boom, you know. The tears go and God's got some action happening and someone calls and everything is rosy. So we're looking for God's goal from your past. What has God been doing in your past that has made your past something that he can build on today that has you in this particular class? You know, there's probably very few people in the world, there'd probably be less than 1,000 people in the world that are learning what you are learning. Now that obviously means there's a lot of merit in your past that has steered you into being in line for this kind of thing. But not only that, God's got works for you in the future that you will take this stuff from and adapt it in your way and use it and be useful. And not only will it nourish you, it will help other people. And everything that has frustrated you in your spiritual life, God will now turn that around and say, oh, I was frustrated because I was growing out of that. And I'm now in a whole other realm of dominion where that stuff is left behind. I'm out of high school, I'm now in uni. Or, huh, thank goodness I'm out of uni and now I'm actually, you know, in the professional stream. Like, you leave the stuff behind, but you can come back and speak to it very well because you now grasp it, you know what it's all about. So we're looking for God in your past to identify patterns of building, so that you can know with absolute unshakable faith, this is what I'm building my hope on. And when you do that, to get out of the pit of you having faith in yourself, you then start to penetrate each one of those and see, where is the life of Jesus empowering this? In what way is Jesus' work in the world empowering this that makes it not only my hope, but it's a hope based on him and his integrity and his work? And where is the Father's plan for my fusion in this? Where is the Holy Spirit's power in these? Okay, now I've got the Trinity anchored in my experience, and you now become an unshakable oak of righteousness built for the glory of the Father. And it's that simple. And if you don't have that, you'll be forever floundering because the leaves haven't recognized the roots. And you, this tree, kind of not quite sure whether you're rooted in the ground or not. Yes?
Are there three sort of separate realms of government that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit function in, so that, say, like the way you're connecting on into the thing, I don't know if God seemed to show me once that you look at an issue in your life and you hear what each of them has to say about it as individuals and then declare it over it, that settles the thing. And that completes, you know, in every level of government in the heavens and the earth, and establishes it, and then it's done. And you can leave it, and it will come to pass. You know, is that
That's a nice theory. That's the same as every level of government in Australia speaks over the lives of every human being here, therefore we can leave it up to the government. Life actually doesn't work like that, because if we get what the Father, Son and Holy Spirit says about a certain issue, we can treat it as, yep, that's cool, that's law, that's done over that. We ourselves then have to live that. And it's our living it that actually makes the law own that thing in our name. Okay? And so just claiming it in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit usually is insufficient. Declaring it is usually insufficient. You've usually got to go into that thing, and there'll be something that now makes you, gives you ownership of that in a very real way. Okay. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37:23. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, Proverbs 16:9. So, question how you made plans and God ordered your experience to increase you in the visible world and your private thinking. This is the next part of God's goal from your past. So let's start going into pairs. And I want it in pairs only because you can discuss it with another human being. You know? And we don't have too much time to labour the point, so you're going to think of three situations where God was. And then you're going to discuss these, and you both do it at the same time. Just think about your things. You can say, okay, person A, what are your three things? Well, there was this, there was this, there was this. You don't have time to go, well, you know, when my mother first came to this country, oh, we were so poor. You don't have time. Just, and your person's a fool for listening to you. So just give the person a nutshell. This is what it was. Oh, okay, good. You've identified three. That's great. That's all I want to know. And then you're going to now start searching in there, something like this. What was God planning in that situation for you? How was God moving you forward from there? He wasn't just rescuing the day. He was in that experience so that the future had a stepping stone. What kind of a stepping stone was he making for you in that situation? God never does anything as a one-off standalone. It's always a stepping stone. And the stepping stone usually is a stepping stone that could spring off in 50 different directions, depending entirely upon your character. Which one are you going to land on? Oh, she's just landed on 47. Cool. Is she going to hopscotch off there? Let's leave her a couple of days and see. No, she's staying on 47. Cool. Take your focus off the other 49 of them. Let's move on here. Okay, what's she going to do here? Well, what stepping stone did this one have prepared? Well, this one had 56 different stepping stones ready for her. How long is she going to stay here? Well, she'll probably be on here for a few months. Cool. Let's just see how she develops here. Every move of God in your life is a stepping stone into options for you to move on to. So, I want you to find three situations in your past. Take the time now to recognize what was God stepping you onto from that point. What was his goal for you at that point? You'll get it at a visible level. You say, well, he rescued me from this, that and the other thing. That's cool. Let's get a deeper intention. Okay? Your deeper intention is, what were you thinking? Well, I was bawling all night. I was freaking out. It's hopeless. Okay, that's cool. What was your thinking with him? Well, my prayers with God was, I really trust you, and, I thought you had this option open to me, and he said he did, and I couldn't see it. And so, that's the quality of how you're going with God. That's cool. Whether your quality with God or your quality with yourself is good or bad is irrelevant. Just identify how it was, because that's how you learn about yourself and with God. And then, was there any fusion life going on whatsoever? Now, some of your God situations are, kaboom happened, just bowed on through there like David with Goliath. Picked up a rock, hurled it, chopped his head off, and came home rejoicing. Okay? That's straight on through to fusion quality. Or it might have been, nothing fusion about that, I was a mess for the whole thing. Just a blessed miracle that any good came out of it at all. So just do some fact finding. Okay, three situations. And you're looking for, what's God's goal in there? And think about these four elements. I'm going to leave this one on. this slide on so that you can deliberately think about these things. Remember that the aim we're getting here is, what I'm going for is, I'm wanting you to identify God's goal from three situations in your past. If you get stuck because you've only had one experience with God in your past, then just stay on that one, but do it really well. All right? I'm going to give you each a little over 5 minutes for this. Good. Any questions?
This is an odd number, so...